Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Howdy, hello, welcome along to Activity Quest. It is the podcast packed with things you can do. Thank you for finding us and listening in. My name's Dan. We're back at it. We're getting out and about finding out what is going on near you. In this episode, Connor's meeting Shrek. No, he's not looking in the mirror. He's going to Shrek's Adventure in London, which is open right now. Also, Bex is chatting to Caroline Jones from the Story Museum in Oxford, which reopens later on this week. And we're finding out what is happening all around the country near where you live as restrictions lift. Every week on Activity Quest, we get out and about. We find out what's happening near you. Connor went to Shrek's Adventure in London just before lockdown. It reopened late last week, and here's what happened on the day out.
Hi everyone, you're here! I can't believe it! It's me, Jesse! You're gonna have a great time! Bye for now!
Okay. We've been in the lift, and we're now entering the main tour. Okay, so you walk straight into the front door. Now you basically enter in what I can only describe as a great big brown kind of arch, really. And it's not really giving much away. But the idea of it is that you enter the world of Shrek, and there's different characters throughout Shrek's adventure. And each character is in a new room. So you aren't necessarily integrating or having to kind of play a game or things like that. You have to almost interact with actors in different rooms that are seen as different parts of Shrek.
The only way to get you home is through a magic portal.
Magic portal, yes! Now leave through that door, my friends. Go! Goodbye, my friends.
Okay, we've just met somebody new in this room, and we're trying to find Shrek. It's taken a while. We've had to dance, we've had to get gold. And we're on an adventure to find Shrek. Oh, there's somebody new. Now, when I went, I was taken around by somebody that works at Shrek's Adventure. And it was kind of funny, actually, because I was recording my audio, and the guy I was with, who was great fun, had to do all the interactive dancing, as I couldn't do both. But you basically enter. There's a conductor on the first bit. Now, I don't want to give much away, but there's a conductor, and you talk to him. He gets you to do things, and then all of a sudden, you end up on a bus, which is being driven by donkey. Oh, wow, this is incredible. We've got buses in here. Old buses, old London buses. Oh, it's donkey. Donkey!
Hey, Vincent! Oh, I've got good news and bad news.
Let's start with the good news.
I'm your new driver.
What's the good news or what's the bad news?
We're fresh out of magic.
That is bad news.
And that concludes your far, far away bus stop. Don't forget to tip your driver.
Donkey, wait!
My name is Catherine Pritchard. I'm General Manager for South Bank Attractions, so that includes Shrek's Adventure London and the London Dungeon. We were very lucky in working very closely with DreamWorks. So we've got some content in the attraction, which you'll only see here. So when you go on the magic bus and you fly to far, far away, that's all DreamWorks characters and DreamWorks content there. And we've got a fantastic group of actors, performers, who really just bring all the characters to life. So it's like stepping in and starring in your own fairy tale.
So for everyone coming down, what did you do to sort of incorporate safety guidelines with everything going on in the world? How do people know that they're going to be safe? What is it that we're expecting on the Shrek tour?
Sure. So it's really important for us to make sure that our guests feel safe and secure in the attraction. Firstly, we ask everyone to pre-book their tickets. We've got really limited capacity in the building so that we can maintain social distancing. And our actors are wearing face masks, but we've incorporated it as all part of the experience, so you don't lose anything. We'll also take your temperature when you come in as well to make sure that you're feeling well.
Okay, so we've done Shrek's Adventure. We had to find Shrek after we... Obviously, there is a storyline. The close is actually a little bit of a scary bit, actually. Shrek is locked up, and I'm not going to give too much away. It's really difficult because I really want you to go and experience it. But you kind of are positioned in a room with everybody else that you're with, and the idea is that you need to work in order to get Shrek free. And if you free Shrek, you may meet him for a selfie. I'm not saying too much. We went through everywhere. We went through the bakery. We saw the Muffin Man. We found Puss in Boots. We done it all. It's the best thing ever. If you love Shrek, you need to get down here.
Thank you, Connor. Excellent reporting from the swamp. Shreksadventure.com, that is the place to book your tickets and to find out all that you need to know to go. Now, remember, this is Activity Quest. We're finding out different things going on near you, but the rules on what we can and can't do at the moment, they have changed and they're different for every county. They might be different where you live for everyone else. So it's important to check before you travel, book in advance where you can as well, and always follow the local guidance. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're getting up to, whether it's at home, whether you're out and about, you can tell us by leaving a 5-star review where you get your podcasts, and by messaging us over at funkidslive.com/activityquest. Now, still to come, we hear about a museum in Oxford that's all about discovering your favourite stories. And we'll head down to Mini Motley's Sanctuary with Anna Louise once again. We'll find out what she's been up to on the farm. First, though, it's time to find out what's going on all around the UK.
It wouldn't be December without a Christmas market. Nottingham Christmas Market is an old market square. It's a collection of stalls, rides and street food stands designed to be enjoyed by all ages. The market is also overlooked by a 32-metre-high Ferris wheel that you can ride as well. It's smaller than previous years to help with social distancing. There's a one-way system in place and it's worth bearing in mind there are no public seating areas. The market runs from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day until December 24th. Hyde Park's Winter Wonderland in London is closed this year, but you can still get your skates on at the Queen's House Ice Rink in Greenwich. It's in the grounds of the Royal Museum's Greenwich. Enjoy unbeatable views of the River Thames and Royal Park as you weave or wobble your way around the rink. Tickets start from £14.50 for adults and £7.25 for kids. And if you'd rather stay indoors, Tate has a make your own wrapping paper tutorial, and it's just as arty as you can imagine. Grab a potato, carve it out, and use it as a stamp. Tate.org.uk/kids is the place to go to get the full DIY tutorial.
And remember, one more time for emphasis, the rules on what we can and what we can't do at the moment, they have changed. So check, book in advance, and always follow the guidance. Now, the other day, Bex, she sat down. She loves her stories, loves her books, loves going on adventures in her mind with her imagination. Now, to help out with that, she sat down with Caroline Jones from the Story Museum earlier in the month. It's in Oxford, and it's a whole museum dedicated to the books that you love. And this is a brilliant chat. Listen in. Here's what happened when they caught up.
So the Story Museum is in Oxford, which is, of course, a city of stories. So many stories were started or created in and around Oxford. The Story Museum was a magical idea dreamt up about 15 years ago now. The idea is to create a place where children and families can step into the magical world of stories and immerse themselves in stories of all forms. So not just stories that come from books, but stories that come from the stage, stories that have been spoken for thousands of years, poems, songs, dance even, films, computer games, any form of story, we love them.
Now, you say you can step into stories. You literally can, right? Because you've got the portal that you walk into, and then you've got the woods and you've got the library as well. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. So There's not many places in the world, I think, where you could possibly fall down a rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland and then step onto a stick, a bridge with Winnie the Pooh and play Pooh Sticks, and then go straight through a wardrobe door and find yourselves in the snowy landscape of Narnia. So it is a pretty unique and special place.
It's basically, I mean, every reader's dream, right?
Well, we think so, but what's really special is that the museum is intended for people that might not even be that into books or reading. So one of the things we do is encourage people who don't necessarily think books are for them to discover different ways into the story. So whether you're someone who prefers to listen or indeed watch the story on screen, there's something for everybody at the museum.
Now, you've mentioned some of the stories, but tell us about some other stories that you can step into or discover when we're in the Story Museum.
So you mentioned the portal, which is the place you come into. It's a sort of travel bureau, which is where you get given your password and your instructions as to how to move through the world of story. Then step into the Whispering Wood. And in the Whispering Wood, you encounter stories that have existed and been told and shared between people for over 3,000 years. And one of the first stories you come to is a story about the Monkey and the Hats, which is a brilliantly funny tale which originates from India originally. You move through the wood, you will encounter a story about two dragons fighting in the skies of Oxford, which is one of those local myths and legends that have grown up around the city. There's a story from Aesop's Fables about the fox and the crow. The fox on the ground manages to trick the crow to opening his beak and singing and thereby dropping the piece of cheese that the fox wants, and the fox can catch the cheese. So lots of tricks to trickster tales. Then you move through the wood, you'll encounter the Grimm's fairy tales, the first time fairy tales were written down onto page. And then from there, you step up into our Enchanted Library. So we go from stories that are shared verbally, orally, to stories as they begin to be captured on the pages of books. And then, of course, from there, you go on to stories that are mostly encountered through stage and screen. So towards the end of our Enchanted Library, you might come across a very well-known book series called Noughts and Crosses by Mallory Blackman, who's a patron of the museum. So we've created a scene from one of the stories for Seffy and Callum to meet in the Noughts and Crosses stories. But of course, that story series was made particularly well known through a recent BBC TV series. So quite often there are stories that have started in one form and then evolved to be shared in another form.
This is amazing. It sounds like such a wonderful place to go visit. And also, like you mentioned, it's in Oxford. Oxford has quite a kind of a literary history.
Stories are rooted. They're in the ground. They're in the water somehow in Oxford. There are so many. You don't have to walk along the street before you bump into an author. And, you know, that includes very, very well-known, world-famous authors. So Lewis Carroll and the Alice in Wonderland series, of course, was developed just down the road in Christchurch, right up to our own patron of the museum, Philip Pullman, and his Dark Materials series. And then, of course, there were lots of writers who are younger, emerging out of the university particularly, but just that I think there's something in the water, definitely, that makes people want to create stories in Oxford.
It sounds wonderful. Oh my goodness, I want to come visit you. I've never been to Oxford, but I've heard so many wonderful things about it. And I think the Story Museum might be the thing that tips me over the edge into my visit, to be honest.
Please do, Bex. You'd be so welcome anytime. We can't wait to see you.
Oh man, it sounds awesome. Well, thank you so much for telling me all about it. I'm pretty sure every listener listening who's ever read one book will be desperate to get in there, because it's just it's the dream, isn't it, to step inside your favourite book. And this sounds like you've basically made a dream come true.
Well, we hope so, and we look forward to welcoming anybody who wants to come and visit us at Christmas. Because of the COVID rules, people do have to pre-book. So we would just ask everybody to get onto the website, sign up to the newsletter, and then that means the minute we put our tickets on sale, then if you're on the newsletter, you'll be the first to know and you'll be the first through the door as soon as we're allowed to welcome you.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for telling us all about the Story Museum.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Bex, as always, and thanks to Caroline for coming on Activity Quest. The Story Museum, it is reopening on Saturday the 12th of December. It's also opening their brand new theatre called The Woodshed with a Christmas show called Suddenly a Star, which is running from the 18th of December to the 3rd of January. Now, tickets need to be booked in advance online or through the box office, and all of the details, they're in the show notes on your podcast app, so have a look there. Now it's time to check in with an Activity Quest legend. She's been with us every episode of the show now, all 21 of them, which means we've gone through an entire season on Millie Motley Sanctuary. It's Anna Louise. She runs her very own farm with her mum, Ruth, and it's time to find out what they've been up to this week.
Oh, Oh, I love that sound. The sound of miniature horses chomping down on their breakfast first thing in the morning. I'm standing in the hospital pens here at the sanctuary where we bring the animals that need a bit of extra TLC. It's a makeshift area that we've created with metal gates and wooden fencing, and we've got lovely deep bedding that's warm and cosy, made up of wood shavings and hay, where the horses or any animal that needs a bit of extra care can snuggle down and cosy up and stay warm and dry. And right now it is the miniature horses that are staying in the hospital pens for now. We've got to keep a very close eye on them because we had a big emergency situation at the start of the week where it was panic stations and all hands on deck with Wilson, our miniature horse. Now, if you've never seen a miniature horse before, to give you a picture, he is just 34 inches tall, which is about the size of a large dog. I know, can you believe it? If you want to try and picture that in your imaginations, think of a normal big size horse and then shrink it in the wash. And that is a miniature horse. Wilson is a beautiful brown, light brown colour in his coat, and he's got a really lovely thick black mane, like Spirit the horse, the wild animated horse in the film. And Wilson is just as wild as well. He's a little breakaway, a little tearaway. He likes to push over the fencing and escape. And that is exactly what happened earlier on in the week. He had a look across the fields over his fence and saw the sheep grazing, the sheep fields, which is vast countryside, a huge area with long, luscious, juicy grass, probably right up to my legs. So long, you would lose the miniature horses in that field. Well, Wilson had other plans. He thought, I'm not staying in these horse paddocks. I'm going to make a breakaway and go on an adventure for the day. And that's exactly what he did. He weaved through the fencing. He pushed it over with his shoulders because he may be small, but I'll have you know, he's very mighty. He is very strong and very powerful. So do not underestimate a miniature horse. He managed to use his shoulders to push the wooden fencing down. He jumped it clear and went galloping off into the woodland. We'd only left him for a matter of moments. We didn't see him make his breakaway. He's very sneaky and very cunning. And he spent the whole day feasting and gorging on the long, luscious grass. Now, Wilson gorged himself all day long, and the vet actually told me a fun fact that horses can eat what they're supposed to eat in 24 hours in just 2 hours. So you can imagine how quickly he was chomping and moving through the grass. And when I came up to do my midday check, I couldn't find Wilson. He was nowhere to be seen. He wasn't with Diesel. He wasn't with Winnie, our other horses. He wasn't in the paddocks. I searched high and low. He wasn't in the trees. He wasn't in the bushes, in the shrubbery. He wasn't up the hill. He wasn't hiding down the hill. And then I looked across the sheep fields and I saw him making his way through the trees. And I panicked because he was moving very slowly and very stiff. And he looked very unhappy and sorry for himself. So I called the emergency vet and got her advice. We moved Wilson as slowly and as carefully as possible, just leading him steadily up the hill to our emergency pens, our little hospital area, where we could keep a very close eye on him. And the vet said I had to watch him for a few hours to see if he was drinking enough and see if he was eating his hay and to watch his movements. And he was looking like he was in pain, because when a horse eats too much grass, the sugar can affect their feet and give them pain in their hooves. And that is exactly what happened. So we're having to make sure we restrict his diet. We're having to make sure he doesn't get any grass for a couple of weeks. And we're having to make sure we give him lots of love and attention and fuss now that he's in the pens, because you know Wilson, he will want to make his getaway as soon as he can. So we have to make sure that he's happy in his pens while he's staying put for a little while and gets back to full health. And we have had the good news from the vet that in a week's time, Wilson should be back fighting fit and causing havoc as always. We just have to make sure that he can't get through the sheep fencing. So it's all hands on deck. My mum, my brother, my best friends, we've come together. We've been setting up the penned areas. We've been reinforcing the wooden fencing and making sure that a very naughty Wilson can't make the same mistake again. But I'm so glad the panic is over. I'm so relieved that our little Wilson is going to be okay. And it's taught him a lesson, I think, that being a little escape artist will not always lead you to paradise. I think he's learnt his lesson, and I'm keeping everything crossed that little Wilson stays put and realises that the grass is not always greener. Well, sometimes it is greener, but it's not always good for you.
Thank you to Anna Louise for sharing with us an entire season on her farm. And that's all we've got time for this week. Remember, whatever you do, however you do it, you need to let us know. Tell us about your quests for activities over at funkidslive.com/activity quest. Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to this as well. Thank you for listening. I've been Dan. This has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. You can listen to me on your DAB digital radio online or on the free Fun Kids mobile app and even on your smart speaker every day from 1 o'clock. Just wake it up with a magic word, then ask it to play Fun Kids, and I'll see you then. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.